Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
When you think about your life in heaven, you probably have a million questions. Will you recognize anyone? Will your new body have supernatural abilities? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah addresses these questions and others having to do with the glorified body that you will inhabit in heaven. Let's listen as David concludes his message, The Ultimate Extreme Makeover, after this word of introduction.
Well, thank you for joining us. You know, there's a lot about this I don't know because it hasn't been revealed. On the other hand, there's a lot that has been revealed that we don't know because we don't study it, we don't look at it, we don't learn it. I have this insatiable curiosity about things like this that are written about in the scripture, and we've done this exhaustive search into the subject of heaven. And today we're going to finish up our discussion of one of the questions about heaven, and that is, what kind of body will we have throughout eternity? And that the title of the message is The Ultimate Extreme Makeover. Much of the truth for this is found in 1 Corinthians 15. So find your place in the Bible and be ready to take a few notes and join us as we answer this question. If you have not already done so, let me encourage you to get a letter in the mail to us during the month of July. This is letter month. We really want to hear from you. Your letters mean so very much, especially in the summer and especially during this month when we're asking you to reflect upon the ministry of Turning Point in your own life. How has Turning Point changed you? How has it touched you? How has it encouraged you? What about your family, your children, your parents, your friends? What series has meant the most to you? Do you know somebody who's come to know Jesus Christ because they've been listening to this program? Well, it's Friday, and this is the last opportunity we have to deal with this question. The ultimate extreme makeover, what kind of bodies will we have in heaven? And this is part two.
The only time that we can observe as humans the body by Jesus is during the 40-day period between the resurrection of Jesus and when he went back to heaven. Number one, Jesus said that his body was real. He had a real body. This is really important. Jesus said he had a real body. In Luke 24:39, we read these words, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." What I want you to know right now is you're not going to have some spirit body that floats around forever. Jesus said you're going to have a real body. Did you hear what he said? He said, "Handle me. My body is real." And a spirit body is an oxymoron. There isn't such a thing. If you have a body, it's not spirit. And if you're in the spirit, you're not in the body. Jesus' body was real. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have real bodies. Real transformed bodies like the body of the Lord Jesus when he was resurrected from the grave. Jesus said his body was real. Notice number two. This will greatly encourage many of you. Jesus ate on two occasions. I don't know if any questions have been asked me more is, are we going to eat in heaven? Eating is not just to keep your body alive, but it's a pleasurable experience. Can I get a witness? But I want you to notice some things. Here again, this is Jesus in his resurrection body. Luke chapter 24, verses 42 and 43. "So they gave Jesus a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it in their presence." John 21, 12 and 13, Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And the assumption is that he ate breakfast with his disciples. More than a few have suggested that in heaven, we will be able to eat without any of the negative effects. No acid reflux. We'll eat without gaining weight. Oh my. And listen, I thought about this week. We will be able to taste foods like we never have before because in our resurrected body there will be nothing to take away from the perfection of our taste buds. You think that steak was good? Oh my. And listen to this, chocolate will have no greater effect on one's waistline than fruit. Whoa. We're going to be able to eat, but you see, what seems to be apparent is, you study this, is that you'll be able to eat, but you won't have to eat. You will eat for pleasure, but not in order to sustain, because you won't need to be sustained. You'll be sustained by the power of God that's resident within you. So eating will truly be a pleasure that you will enjoy. And by the way, in the garden, we had a picture of the beauty of uninterrupted cuisine. And I believe we'll have a recreation of that whole scenario when we get to heaven someday. All right, so we're going to have a real body. We're going to be able to eat. Notice the third thing. Jesus told Thomas to touch his body. Notice verse 27 of John 20. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Once again, I want to remind you that our bodies, after the extreme makeover, are going to be real bodies, like our current bodies, only totally renovated, resurrected, made over. We'll be able to eat. We will have the sense of touch. We know that from this experience. Jesus told Mary not to hold on to him. Do you remember that experience? That happened in that period of time. John 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. You can't cling to something that's not touchable. Jesus told Mary, don't hold on to my body because I haven't yet ascended to the Father. So people are always asking me, in my new body, will people know me and will I know others? Jesus in his resurrection body was real. His disciples knew who he was. Listen to this. They knew that this Jesus, who was with them after his death and resurrection, was the very same Jesus they had known before his death. They knew this so deeply in their hearts that they all went to their death proclaiming the reality of his resurrection, and that he came out of the grave, the same Jesus who had gone into the grave, but in his resurrection body, he was the real Jesus, the same Jesus who they knew before and they knew now. And that's the way it'll be for you. When you get to heaven, you're going to know all the people that you met down here, and they're going to know you. It is unthinkable to me that in heaven, we will know less than we do here. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says this, for now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. We will have a greater sense of recognition in heaven than we've ever had here on this earth. When Moses and Elijah appeared out of heaven to stand with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples with Christ recognized Moses and Elijah as real people. When Jesus describes heaven in Matthew chapter 8, he speaks of it as being a real place with real identifiable people present there. Matthew 8:11 says, and I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and you'll know who they are. And you will be known. Missionary Amy Carmichael wrote these words about recognition in heaven. Listen to what she said. Shall we know each other in heaven? Shall we love and remember? I don't think anyone need wonder about this or doubt for a single moment. For if we just think we know, would you be yourself if you did not remember? We are told that we shall be like our Lord Jesus. And does he not know and love and remember? He would not be himself if he did not, and we should not be ourselves if we did not. We shall know, and we shall remember, and we shall be recognized. And we'll learn more about that going forward. Well, our new bodies will be indestructible. Our new bodies will be identifiable. Our new bodies, thirdly, will be incredible. And I mean that, incredible. Verse 43b says, we will be sown in weakness, we will be raised in power. We will be buried in weakness. Isn't that true? When a body's buried, it's without any strength, without any power. But when we come out of the grave, it will be in power. In our current bodies, we are limited in our ability to sustain effort for very long. Isn't that true? It gets harder and harder as we get older and older. We work hard for a few hours and we're exhausted. We went to Africa. I think a lot of folks found out we have a capacity. Went out the first day to plant gardens in all of the sweltering heat of that country. And I noticed that we went out with a lot of energy and we came back in looking like we had just been run over by a Mack truck. I mean, it was a hard task. And it got harder as the week went on because our energy supply began to be less and less. But in our new bodies, we will have capacities and abilities without any limitation. Nothing will be outside the scope of the possibility for us in our new body. On one occasion, listen to this, on one occasion, Jesus actually entered a room without going through the door. He just appeared in the midst of his disciples. John 20, verse 19 says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" You say, "You mean, Pastor, when I get in my new body, I'll be able to just show up, be in a place without walking through the door?" It appears that way. It appears that we will not have limitations like we have today. That through perhaps our thought process, we'll be able to be places. And heaven is so vast and such a tremendous, you're going to learn more about this later, just to be able to think and be where you need to be. All of us who went to Africa, we all said it was great going. It was great being there. It was just hard going and coming. It was a killer trip. But when we get to heaven, we'll just say, and we'll be there. In the midst, says the scripture. In Jesus' resurrection body, he surmounted the limitations of this life. Earth had no power to stop him, and our bodies are going to be the same. Finally, our bodies will not only be indestructible and identifiable and incredible, but notice the fourth thing Paul says in verse 44, our new bodies will be infinite. It is buried a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Paul goes to great effort to describe the difference between our earthly body and our heavenly body. He points to Adam as the image bearer for this body. He points to Christ as the image bearer for our new body. He says that we are going to have a spiritual body. Now, let me just talk with you a moment about that, because this is a matter of great confusion for a lot of God's people. What is a spiritual body? He's not talking about an immaterial body. We already know that. Jesus was touched. He was handled. Jesus ate. Jesus did not have a quote-unquote spirit body. He had a material body. And we're going to have bodies just like him. So we're not going to have spirit bodies in the sense that we're going to be kind of spooky, if you know what I mean. We're going to have real bodies. Paul is talking here about a real body that is no longer controlled by the physical appetites, but a real body that is now controlled by the spirit. Our new bodies will exist on a higher plane, and our new bodies, instead of being governed by our appetites, will be governed by the Holy Spirit. That's what a spiritual body is. The basic difference between a natural body and a spiritual body is that the former body is suited for life on this earth, and our spiritual bodies will be suited for life in heaven for eternity with God. The natural body is soul controlled. The spiritual body will be spirit controlled. And Paul tells us that in our current bodies, we could not live in heaven. Verse 50 of chapter 15 says, "This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." He's saying that as we are now in our current bodies, we couldn't function in the realm of heaven. But God is going to give us new, real bodies like the ones we have, only completely made over, transformed, and no longer governed by our appetites of the flesh, but governed now by the appetites of the spirit. Give me just a moment here, would you? Have you ever had 1 hour or one 30-minute period, or maybe even one 10 minutes, when you sensed that the Holy Spirit was totally in control of who you were and what you did? it is the most glorious thing, if even can have consciousness of that being true when it happens. The Bible says that when we are transformed and our resurrection bodies come out of the grave, we are going to be totally in the Spirit. And we're going to do only those things that please the Lord, and our physical appetites will be marginalized by the appetite we have for the Lord God and His glory. If you are walking with the Lord today, that whets your appetite to know what it's like, even for a moment, to live in the Spirit. Well, one day, and I believe it's soon, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and He's going to take everyone who has trusted with Him to heaven. And for those who are alive at that time, who haven't died yet, 1 Corinthians teaches us that they're going to experience the effects of the resurrection on their way up. Now, that's the way I want to be experiencing resurrection. How many would vote for that? We'd like to be here when Jesus comes back. So watch this. Listen, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What is sleep, class? That's dying for a Christian. But while we're not all going to sleep, we're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. And so the pattern, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians and again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is like this. Jesus is going to come back. He's not going to come all the way to the earth in the rapture. He's going to come in the air. The trumpet's going to sound, and those who have died in Christ are going to be raised up, and in the process of the resurrection, they will immediately get their transformed body. And those of us who are Christians and are still alive on this earth, we'll be caught up together with them in the air, says Paul. We'll get our transformation in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump as we're caught up. And then together, all of us will be ushered into heaven by the Lord Himself. All of us having transformed bodies like the Lord Jesus. Wow. I have often said, I believe I'm going to be alive when that happens. I think all of us as Christians ought to have that hope in our heart. It's going to be something to see. I know that many of you have friends who have bodies that have been injured. Perhaps friends who were born into this world and their bodies didn't function properly. Johnny Erickson Tada has written so many precious things about heaven. I was with her at the NRB and she spoke about heaven before I did, and I wished I could have left and not had to speak, because she's such a powerful, powerful ambassador for the Lord Jesus. In one of her books, she says this, "I still can hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone spinal cord injured like me? Or someone who is cerebral palsied, brain injured, or who has multiple sclerosis? Imagine the hope this gives someone who is manic depressive. No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, new hearts, and new minds. Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope." End of quote. No wonder Paul said that if in this life only we have hope, we are most miserable. But we have hope beyond this life, do we not? And that hope is in Jesus. And one day, all of the pains and the aches and the deformities and the deficiencies that we sense in our earth bodies are going to all be taken away when we get our heavenly bodies. And we're going to know the joy of full capacity with the Lord forever and ever. Do you understand why I'm so passionate about trying to take people to heaven with me? You know what? I don't want anyone to miss what God has planned for His children. Jack Welch was an icon as the CEO of General Electric. Wrote a book several years ago with the title on it, tells you a little bit about his ego. The book was titled Jack. It was all about Jack. It was about Jack's great administrative ability. And I didn't buy into a lot that I read in the book, but I always learned something from every book that I read. And I learned some lessons from him about administration that were good. Well, he's come out with a new book called Winning. And it is a compilation of questions that people ask Jack Welch, and then he's answered them and organized them into a business book. You can imagine my surprise as I skimmed through the book and discovered that someone had actually asked Jack Welch this question: do you think you will go to heaven when you die? Couldn't believe that. It was in a business book. So I have to honestly tell you, I never do this. I skipped to the last chapter. I wanted to hear what this man was going to say. And I'll tell you, here's what I read. After rambling about how he has made some mistakes in his business, how he is discouraged over his two failed marriages, Welch finally gets around to answering the question he was asked about heaven. And here's what he said. So as far as heaven, who knows? I'm sure not perfect, but if there are any points given out for caring about people with every fiber of your being and giving life all you've got every day, then I suppose I might have a shot. End of quote. But Jack, heaven's not about having a shot. It's not even about caring for people or giving your life everything you've got every day. Heaven is about putting your trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And I need to tell you guys something. It's harder for a successful businessman to get to that point than it is for anybody else on this earth. Because we have gotten where we have gotten through the effort of our own energy and drive and vision. But when it comes to heaven, all those rules are thrown out. And heaven is not something you earn. Heaven's something that's a gift. And God says, until you are humbled enough to say, I can't earn heaven by my own works, you will never see the inside of heaven. You will spend eternity in hell without Christ. The way you get to heaven is you humble yourself as a little child and you acknowledge that you cannot do enough good things to get to heaven, that you could never make it to heaven on your own. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, plus or minus nothing. You literally bet eternity on Jesus. Until you're willing to do that, until Jack Welch is willing to do that, he can never go to heaven. There won't be any, I think I've got a shot when he stands before the Lord. He doesn't have a hope unless he puts his trust in Jesus Christ. He doesn't, I don't, and you don't. So I'm going to ask you today, is there any reason you can think of why you wouldn't want to put your trust in Jesus Christ? Ask Him to forgive your sin and make a reservation in heaven that is absolutely as certain as it can be.
And would you make your decision to put your trust in Christ? If you let us know, we'll send you two free booklets, one called Your Greatest Turning Point and the other called First Steps of Faith. These little booklets will help you get started in your walk with the Lord, and we'd love to send them to you as our way of giving you a real pat on the back as you begin your walk with the Lord. Now, friends, it's almost Sunday. Sunday has become a little bit strange for a lot of folks over these last weeks. Some of you are back in church. Some of you still aren't. But wherever you are and however your situation presents itself, I want to ask you to make Sunday special. Listen, watch, be a part, go to, involve yourself with your church and make it a priority. More than ever before, we need to do that. So many things are changing in our culture. If there's ever been a time when we need to be anchored in the truth, this is it. That takes place quite often in the church. And I want to encourage you to go to church this weekend if it's open where you are, to watch online if that's where you are, but most of all, to make this a priority. We'll be on television over the weekend. You can watch us, find us. We're in your area. And then we'll be back on Monday to continue our discussion of the mysteries of heaven. Have a great weekend, friends. Thank you for being a part of this ministry.
Our message today originated from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Senior Pastor Dr. David Jeremiah. Please write and tell us how God is using Turning Point in your life. Write to us at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California 92163. Or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Now, when you do, ask for your copy of David's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, to be better informed about your amazing eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also download the free Turning Point mobile app for your favourite smart device, or search in your app store for the keywords Turning Point Ministries for instant access to our programs and resources. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hookfleet. Join us Monday as we continue the series Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.